Thank you very much for coming. Today, as usually, we will speak about our nanotubes in field of silicons this time. So, okay, it works. So we call it unbreakable connection, meaning that today I would like to speak about how the nanomaterials, in particular single carbon nanotubes, could improve the silicons in this case, but actually many more materials in field of electrically conductive or, let's say, ESD safety applications. So as I mentioned, so let's speak deep dive into electrical conductivity. So it seems like it's not that common where it would be needed, but I'll show you a couple of cases, and we're understanding actually more and more that in our daily life in the high-tech industries or medical diagnostics, wearable devices, so we need that more and more. And today I would like to explore more why the industry challenges are driven demand manufacturers to develop new materials, new formulations, and let's explore why it's so. So why the new generation of ESD protective or conductive materials are needed. So here we put a couple of, let's say, conductivity-related requirements to the three particular industries where the, let's say, the most electrical conductive requirements are presented. So cable industry and automotive, so high durability, flexibility, and stable ESD protection. So all the electronics, so now it's more related to the skin contact proof, touchscreen function, and resistance to the harsh environment. So it could be like high sweating, high temperatures, and whatever is related to explosive industries like semiconductors, for example. And last but not the least, it's a printing industry where the fast-moving objects are presented, so that's why it's required to remove the static discharge. So, but it still required some extra features like color, non-marking, low hardness, and flexibility. So industry challenges. So we divided that by two parts now because we see that one sector is represented by the electrical connectors. In the recent years, the higher current capacity and the higher voltage applied to the cable accessories. And officially, so the couple of industry-related standards were revised in terms of increase the operation temperatures up to 200 degrees. So silicons are still be the best candidates here, but considering the higher temperatures and higher and harshest environments, so they need to withstand more. So that's why. And there are a lot of researches has been doing to confirm how the mechanical stress and the higher temperature would affect the material properties. So this tends to manufacturers to build the new, let's say, materials or connectors with the higher requirements. And the second part, what we are exploring and our customers exploring, is the electronics and diagnostics section, where, again, so in addition to electrical conductivity, so it would require the biocompatibility, high softness, high elasticity and strength, and also mechanical service life. Because if we're talking about any wearable devices, medical diagnostic devices, so we need to make sure that this, let's say, precise enough and able to withstand all the, let's say, daily usage environments. What we could consider as the new material requirements as the and the functions which were, let's say, 10 years ago were never existing. So, for example, the extra function example. So now everything is touchscreen compatible. So, and that would require at least anti-static level of electrical conductivity. So there is a touchscreens. There is also the operation environments like personal protective equipment and many more. So which is related to this, let's say, not regulation driven, but more like a daily use and the functional driven property. Extra function examples is also related to our healthcare or, let's say, whatever daily use equipment. So there are a lot of electrical impulse stimulation devices. You can see that there are a lot of massage devices or whatever which is related to healthcare now with an implemented electrical or EMS stimulation, so which is also require electrical conductivity. One more example, driven by the robotic industry, which means that in particular, so there are a lot of pieces in the robots which could require elastomers and silicones in particular with conductive properties, but in particular the robotic joints must withstand up to 1 million cycles, so that means it must be high durable, elastic, and maintain the certain level of conductivity, in particular, let's say, pretty high conductivity. And last but not the least, here in terms of new material requirements, so we see how much improved our daily use devices, like wearable electronics, earplugs, watches, let's say whatever is smart textiles. So we can see that more and more of them are obtaining the new properties, which are requiring the human body contact, first of all, and this works like an electrode because it's transferring the human body impedances here and there and back. So that means we basically wearing the electrodes, and the silicone is not steel, but this is the best candidate for it so far. So, and here we're talking about the flexible electrodes, which are made of silicone with a super high skin contact compatibility. So, and for all of those applications, we can say that carbon nanotubes are used or can be used. And now I would say, I would speak a bit more why it's so. So it's still be like nanomaterial, but one of the others, to be honest. So let's deep dive a little bit in terms of the material properties. So we are currently working in the multiple polymers and also the battery industry. So it could be introduced in the multiple systems, composites, resins, rubbers, because of the 3D conductive and reinforcing network construction. What is the material is? It's basically the sheet of graphene, so which is rolled into the one tube, so with the exceptional diameter to length to diameter ratio, which allows to use this material in the super low dosages. So we are starting, for example, for let's say for the battery materials or composites, we're starting with 0.0 something. So it's ultra conductive, ultra strong, and very stable for the higher temperatures. So that's why it allows material manufacturers to preserve the properties to the maximum. So if we are like jumping back to the, let's say, very soft skin electrodes, so that means silicone would retain very soft and very skin compatible as it was before the introduction of the conductive material. Let's see if we would jump into the, let's say, whatever silicone made material with nanotubes. So it's basically uniformly distributed, how we call it, 3D network, so of single carbon nanotubes incorporated in the material media. So there are a lot of tests has been done, which has proven that there is no carbon or nanomaterial release on the surface. There is no surface contamination, so that's why its material is pretty safe to use. What is also important is the we develop technologies for the easy to use for the industry. So since it's nano, so it might require some specific mixing conditions, handling, etc., etc. So we develop the predispersed concentrates in the multiple forms. So when we introduced already optimized size of the material, we call it bundles. Yeah, because after the synthesis, it's one bundle could consist of 500 or several hundreds of single carbon nanotubes. So basically, our customers receiving ready-to-use predispersed material, which doesn't require any changes in the industrial process. And important point here, so what, let's say, is connected us to the circularity and the carbon footprint reduction is the, because of the higher durability of the material and the longer cycle life, so we're able to reduce the carbon footprint for the multiple cases for now, according to the current calculations, up to 60 million tons less of CO2. A bit of data related to the liquid silicon rubber. So this is the closest analogous. So we are not talking about the carbon black, so metallic fillers, which are up to 50 times more required to obtain the same level of conductivity. So here's the multiple carbon nanotubes, which is the closest analogous. So which required 10 times more higher dosage. So that means 10 times higher effect to the mechanical performances, elasticity, viscosity, processing. And also we have to consider that this is the dusty material for the processing. And if we like jump a bit more into the how the tubal matrix, so this is the concentrate name, works in terms of the particular resistance level, vice versa, the tubal active content dosage. So that means 1% of nanotubes would allow us to have a shielding material with the stable electrical properties. And if you need something like antistatic or ESD safe, it's just 0.5 or even less required to get the desired performance together with the color, for example. Important thing is the again, here is the comparison with the nanomaterials. The closest analogous is the how it affects to mechanical performance. Moduli, tensile strength, elongation, tear strength as well, and also the hardness. Here we're talking about the superconductive material, which is 1 ohm per centimeter. This is basically those electrodes which I mentioned before. So we can see here that CNT, like in particular single wall, has the minimum impact. So that's why you could retain your original silicon in terms of processing and mechanical performance. And rheology. So this is very important also point. So this is the curve. So this is basically the original silicon, and we can see that the both concentrates of carbon nanotubes, which is only 0.2 and 0.5% of active content and liquid silicon rubber, could preserve original viscosity and rheology of the material, which retains processing and the molding, moreover, to the same level. So that means it's basically the cost saving for the manufacturers in terms of the new design of the materials. So another point, so we work a lot with our partners now for the skin compatible or skin related electrodes. So most of the materials available now on the market has the first of all, they're not approved in terms of skin contamination. So if we're talking about nanomaterials, so but what do we need? So we need something which is very soft, biocompatible, which is silicone, and able to maintain the, let's say, higher cycles of the sweatness, higher temperatures, higher adhesion, so and still to retain the flexibility and the very precise diagnostics. So basically, what we confirm now, this is pretty much possible with the single carbon nanotubes. Important thing related to this application is the stability of the performances after the dynamic stress. So here you can see the data. So when we basically stretch the material and see, I mean, have we destroyed the electrical conductive network? So we measure that right after the stress and after 12 hours of relaxation. So there are different stress applied, just one stretch for 1 minute and for 10 minutes. So then, and we can see that basically after the some relaxation period, so we can confirm that this elastic conductive network could retain to the same level. So that means all of the stretched required materials like cable connectors, electrodes, and whatever should be very much expanded, so is able to maintain the same level of electrical conductivity after the stress. And last but not the least here, toxicology studies. So we performed a lot of studies related to the tubal graphene nanotubes itself. That means that's the worst case when the material in the powder form was tested for the skin corrosion, irritation, sensitization, and the dermal toxicity. And that was approved that there is no effect to known of that. So of course we have to put the known that the every silicone-based formula or whatever rubber composite-based formula supposed to be approved by the particular manufacturer. But the important conclusion from here that the carbon nanotubes itself are very safe to use for the skin contact application as well. And one more functional point here, so there is no release on the surface. So that was proven in terms of the nano level. So there were a couple of studies performed by the let's say Statpeel company, so which is more focused on the nanomaterial release and detection in the surface. But in terms of function, so this is non-marking effect. So how it works, I mean, when we introduce any carbon-based materials, usually there is carbon release on the surface. With the single carbon nanotubes, so we can confess that it's properly incorporated in the polymer. So that means there is no nanomaterial, so whatever, let's say, marking release on the surface. Important part related to the EHS status, so some of them I mentioned already, so related to toxicology. So far we are the only single wall carbon nanotubes manufacturer which is REACH compliant and also EPA compliant for the American market. So there was performed a lot of studies related to the spilling, drilling test, abrasion of the thread compounds. So they're all available upon request if it's required. So currently there is no hazard classification according to the CLP regulation for the European Union. And we have large chemical inventory status. All of that became possible with the introduction of our materials together with our partners and investigation of these impacts to the environments and specific testing using the external R&D and EHS related partners. So far, we are registered wherever we represented. So, companies had Luxembourgish headquartered, but we have a sales offices and representative offices all over the globe. And the last part of the presentation would be what we can bring together to the circularity. We are not limited to the existing solutions what we currently have. And what we learned from the industry for the past 10 to 15 years of experience, so to be flexible and to be able to make some kind of tailor-made or specific solutions together with our partners and customers, that makes possible you having our R&D and the technical centers, which are currently located in the Belgrade, Serbia, where is our facilities. So Luxembourg and Shanghai. So in addition to the already developed multiple solutions for the different industries, so it's a concentrate, so suspensions form, we still working together with our industrial partners. So we, let's say, focusing on the, not say tailor-made, but let's say industry-required solutions with a clear technical task formulation. So we are making together in our laboratories the feasibility study and prototyping. So product scaling, which is very important, especially related to the nanomaterials. And in the past 10 years, so we, in field of elastomers only, we issued almost 25 different products in the concentrate or suspension form. And we're still open for the collaboration with the industrial partners. And yeah, that's the last slide. So we can call it critical, but actually I would say we are able to provide the opportunity to the industry for the new material design, where it's required some specific properties dedicated to the, say, new industrial requirements and the new material performances. So we are here today in the booth number 815, so feel free to come in case you have any inquiries, questions. Thank you very much.